Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, and verses 41 and 42. Luke, chapter 8, verses 41 and 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. And our subject this morning is a ruler's daughter raised. A ruler's daughter raised. This is a glorious healing miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we shall consider this morning. And in fact, it's more than just a healing. The Lord will bring somebody back from the dead, back from the dead. And as we consider these things this morning, we remind ourselves that this is what Christ has come to do. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ has entered into this world. He has come to conquer death. And that, of course, is something that only Christ can do. Only God can do that. Christ is God, of course, the Son of God, the incarnate God, equal with the Father. Only God can come and do this. No man, no doctor, no physician, no angel can ever conquer death. It's only God who can do that. And that is why Christ has come into this world, into this age, to conquer death. And in so doing, well, we have true life. True life can only be known once death is overcome. You cannot possibly know true life without overcoming death. And these things we will consider in the short time before us. But this miracle, well, it involves the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, most likely in Capernaum, whose name is Jairus. Now, we read in verse 41 that he was the ruler of the synagogue. And, the synagogue, most of you will be aware, is a place where the Jews meet for religious services, for worship. And the ruler of the synagogue, or rulers of the synagogue, sometimes there would be several. They would have various duties. They would maintain the building. They would maintain order in the synagogue. They would organize services and so on. And Jairus, being ruler of the synagogue, well, he would no doubt have been aware of Jesus of Nazareth. Of course he would have been. He would have been aware of this Jesus preaching about the kingdom of God, calling people to repentance and faith. And above all, he would have known all about the healings. All the people who had been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have been aware of these things. So many people had been healed in so many different ways, all types of maladies and illnesses. And they had come away from this Jesus of Nazareth entirely healed. This was big news. And the ruler of the synagogue most surely would have heard of these things. But now, well, he comes to the Lord himself. Verse 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Well, he doesn't just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He falls down at Jesus' feet and beseeches him, begs him, as it were, implores him that he would come into his house. What has compelled him to do this, to come to the Lord in such a manner? Well, in verse 42, we learn why. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. This is why this man is compelled to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. His daughter, his only daughter, who he loves so dearly, 12 years old. Now she is lying, dying in her bed. This is what has compelled this ruler to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great trial. This is a great crisis. And this is what brings Jairus to his knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. This great trial in his life. And you know, this is often the way in which the Lord works. The Lord will often bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ by bringing a great trial, a great difficulty into their lives. That's often the way the Lord does it. People often say to you, if there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen in my life? Why do I have this difficulty? Why do I have this problem? Why do I have this illness? Why do I have all these relationship problems? Why am I so short on money? Why this? Why that? Well, don't you ever think that perhaps the Lord is trying to bring you to him through that trial? Through this great difficulty, the Lord is calling you to himself. Imagine if your life was absolutely perfect and there were no problems in your life at all. Everything was going absolutely swimmingly. Well, you wouldn't want God. Oh, I don't need God. Everything's fine in my life. There's no problems at all. Why do I need to come to church? Why do I need to think about God? If everything was perfect in your life, you wouldn't think about God at all. So that's why God sends a difficulty. He sends a trial into your life. He wants you to notice him. He wants to bring you to himself. He's calling you to himself through this great trial. So that when there's a difficulty in your life, you will be compelled to cry unto God. You'll be compelled to get onto your knees, as it were, and say, Lord, help me. That is so often the case. The Lord will bring a great trial into your life, one that nobody else can help you with, so that you will have to look up to God, so that you'll have to take notice of him. That's why bad things happen so often, because God is calling you to himself. Take notice of me. This is so often the way in the scriptures and, well, in the testimony of so many people. This is the only way he can gain your attention, because otherwise you wouldn't have any interest in him at all. So he has to bring a trial to compel you, just as he does with Jairus. Jairus would never have come in such a way to the Lord Jesus Christ if his daughter was perfectly well. But now that his daughter is lying, she is on her deathbed, well, this is what compels him to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's a trial in your life at this time, well, perhaps the Lord is calling you. But note the age of the daughter. This is interesting and something we ought not to let pass. This daughter, well, she's so young. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. She's dying at only 12. Dear friends, there are no rules with death. If I can address some of you youngsters here. Some of you youngsters, you come every week and, well, you hear the preacher talking about death and so on, and you think to yourself, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. The preacher talking about death, that doesn't affect me, that doesn't include me. I'm way too young. It's way too early for me to die, as if there's some sort of rule. There's some sort of rule that is written, if you're under a certain age, you cannot die. There's no rules when it comes to death. There are no rules. There's no such rule. Death doesn't care how old you are. Death doesn't care how well you're doing at school. Death doesn't care whether you have your whole life in front of you. When death comes calling, there are no rules. That is very obvious. And, well, it's not just youngsters who can get complacent about death. Some of the older people here, well, we like to fool ourselves into thinking we're in great health. Perhaps people, they think, well, I work out, I exercise, I'm in very good health, nothing's going to happen to me at all. As if that's the rule. If you're in perfectly good health, you cannot possibly die. There are no rules to death. You know, I heard not so long ago, I'm sure some of you will remember this, not so long ago, there was an international footballer, I think he played for Cameroon, and everybody said he was the fittest man in the entire squad. The fittest man. And they were playing an international game, and you have to be on top of your game, physical peak when you play these games. And in the 78th minute of the game, this great captain, this great athlete, he dropped dead in the center circle on the pitch. He was in perfect physical condition. He was a footballer, an international footballer, and yet right in the middle of a game, he died, a heart attack. And everybody was saying, how could this have happened? How could an athlete with no previous heart problems suddenly just die in the middle of a game? How can it happen? Well, because there are no rules concerning death. When death comes calling, there are no rules. It will just take you. So this is why we preach the gospel so urgently, even to the young. There are no rules. We never know how long we have left in this life. You don't even know whether you'll be in this place hearing this message again, because there are no rules when it comes to the end of our lives. And this is why we have to take the gospel seriously. This is why we have to think about our standing with God. Am I right with God before I die? Because if not, if I die and I'm still outside the kingdom, well, then it will be too late. And well, we'll think about that a little bit later. But, if we continue with this narrative, this narrative is actually broken up from verse 43 to verse 48, in the middle of this account about Jairus and his daughter, there is another healing, this time a woman with an issue of blood, a hemorrhage of some kind. And we don't have time to go into her healing, but many of you will know that she is healed by touching the hem or the border of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. In verse 44, we read, her issue of blood stopped. Now, there are some similarities between this woman and the daughter of Jairus. We read in verse 43 that the woman has had the issue of blood 12 years, which just so happens to be the age of the daughter of Jairus. And I'm sure that's not coincidental, but again, we don't have time to go into that in depth, but that's a similarity. And also, in verse 48, after this woman is healed, there's another connection that we can note. Verse 48, the Lord said unto this woman with the issue of blood, he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, he calls her daughter, right in the middle of an account of Jairus's daughter. Now that, without doubt, I'm sure, is a connection. And this is the only time that the Lord uses that term daughter. He doesn't use that term of affection for anybody else in the Gospels. Only here, on this occasion, daughter, be of good comfort. Well, what does this teach us? Well, this is showing us, I believe, that the Lord cares for this woman in exactly the same way as Jairus cares for his only daughter. This woman who he's never met, he cares for her just as Jairus cares for his daughter. This is something we must never forget. If you are a Christian here this morning, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you as though you were his only child? This is a glorious truth. You know, sometimes children in large families, this isn't always the case, sometimes children in large families, they often crave affection from their parents because there are so many children in the family, so many siblings, they crave the affection of the parents. Oh, if only I was the only child, then I would get all the love of my father and all the love of my mother. I wish there were no other siblings. If it was just me, that would be wonderful. Sometimes children crave their parents' affection. But you know, when you're a child of God, it is as though you are the only child. God loves you as though you are the only one. Yes, there are many children in God's kingdom, but you know, you have all the love of God. You have access to the whole love of God, to all the blessings of God, to all the riches of God's grace. God loves you as though you were the only one to be loved. And this really is what is being communicated here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he loves this woman as though she were his only one. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. This is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many things we could say, but let's continue with the healing of Jairus' daughter. Well, we read some grave news in verse 49. While he yet spake, while the Lord yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, from Jairus' house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Well, this is the worst news that Jairus could have heard. This is what he must have feared the most, the news that his daughter is dead. And if he had been with anybody else, well, he would have been crushed. He would have been devastated. His life would never have been the same again. But because he's with Jesus, look at what happens. But when Jesus heard that news, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. The Lord Jesus Christ is with Jairus, and he says, fear not. Dear friends, when you are with Christ, there is no need to be afraid. No need at all, no matter what happens in your life. It's the opposite of what this world teaches us. This world, it seems, we're to be afraid of everything. The world wants you to be afraid. Be afraid, well, of climate change. Be afraid of politicians. Be afraid of Brexit. Be afraid of this. Be afraid of that. This climate in which we live, it's a climate of fear, of terror. But when you're with Christ, Christ says to each one of his people, fear not, whatever happens to you, God is with you. God will carry you through every trial. You don't need to be afraid of anything, not even death. Not even death. A Christian is not afraid of death. A Christian is not afraid of what happens after death. You know, so many people, the main reason they're afraid of death is they don't know what happens after death. And they make up what happens after death. Many people say, oh, well, when you die, you're nothing at all. You're just gone. You don't hear anything. You don't see anything. You don't feel anything. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we die and then there's the judgment. Then we have to give an account of our lives. And that's a fearful thing to consider. You have to stand before a holy God, a God who sees all your sins. You have to stand before him and give an account of your life. That is something to fear, but not if you have Christ. Not if you have Christ with you. If you have him with you, then there is no need to fear at all. He has taken upon himself the punishment for your sin on the cross at Calvary. If you believe in him, well, these words say it. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Those words, "she shall be made whole," really that means she shall be saved. But fear not, believe only. All you need to do is believe. When you become a Christian, you don't have to fill in a form or carry out some sort of ritual or task. You don't need to pay any money. All you do to be saved is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that when he died on the cross, it was for you, for the sins that you have committed in your life. He died on the cross. He took the punishment from God the Father upon himself, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be free from condemnation. This is why Christ came. This is the measure of his love. This is what we mean when we say Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And remember, yes, Christ died for billions of people on the cross, but he loved each one as though they were the only one he was dying for. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us and he gave himself for us. Do you believe in that? Do you really believe in that? That Christ died for your sin? That is the gospel. We must believe. But let's continue to the end of this account, because it's truly marvelous. Well, verse 51, the Lord Jesus Christ, he arrives at the house of Jairus, and he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And verse 52, well, all are weeping and mourning in the house. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." She's not dead, she's only sleeping, the Lord Jesus. But in verse 53, they all laugh at him. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand, Jairus' daughter, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, her soul. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Her life came back into her, her spirit, her soul. That is what gives us life, the soul of each and every one of us. And you know, this is what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We always speak about the return of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord comes again, he will call out to all of his people, all of his people who have trusted in him and who have died. He will call out to them, and they will be raised from the dead. They will come out of the grave, and their glorious resurrection bodies will be reunited with their souls. Their spirits will come upon them once again, and they will forever dwell with God. And this is a picture of this. Just as this maid rises again, her spirit comes again, well, the Lord Jesus Christ will call all of his people to himself at the very end of time. Do you believe that, dear friends? We must believe in these things. Or are you somebody, just to close, who is like those mourners in the house? Those mourners who were weeping, and when the Lord Jesus Christ came to heal, they laughed at him. Are you like that? You know, this is the tragedy of man. Man is always weeping and moaning about the way the world is. And we said this right at the start. Why is there so much difficulty in this world? Why is there so much strife? Why is my life like this? People are always moaning and weeping over these things. And then when you present to them the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the answer. The gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to true peace, true happiness in the Lord. What do? They laugh at you. They laugh at you. They laugh at you to scorn. The Lord Jesus, he's the answer to peace, to happiness, to true joy. They laugh at you just like these people. They spend their whole time mourning and weeping and wailing. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appears and says, I am your salvation, they just laugh at him. Are you like that? You go out of this place, you just laugh at everything that's just been said. Oh, this isn't really the answer to all the problems. I laugh at those things. Everything that that preacher said, it's laughable. Well, dear friends, if you're like that, you'll never stop weeping. You'll never stop moaning. You'll never see the great miracle in your life. The Lord Jesus, he put those mourners out of the room. They never saw the daughter of Jairus being raised to life. They never saw the miracle. Well, if you're like that, if you dismiss the Lord, you will never see the miracle in your life. You'll continue to moan and to weep and to wail and to wonder why the world is like it is. Because you laugh and you mock and you reject the Lord Jesus continually, repeatedly. You won't see any miracle. You won't see the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns and calls his people to himself. You will be shut away. Dear friends, don't make that mistake. Anybody here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and is entertaining thoughts of rejecting him once again, don't make that mistake. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to save us to the uttermost. He has come to make us whole. Go to him, embrace him, kiss the Son, as we considered last week, and he will be all you need. This is the gospel message. May the Lord bless these things to us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for all that we see in it of Christ and of his love for his people, how he loves his people, each one of them, as though they were the only one. Oh, dear Lord, may Christ be the only one in our lives. May we set aside all other idols, all other loves, everything that comes between us and Christ. Help us to cast it to one side and to worship only him and to follow only him and to love only him. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray. We ask it all in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.